Thank you. I'm glad that you have joined us for the Phipps Faith Family Freedom podcast tonight on BBS Radio Television. We have an exciting program tonight. As a matter of fact, we're looking forward to our special guest, Mr. Michael Reagan, the son of the 40th president, President Ronald Reagan. And I know he has a project about Normandy and, of course, France. And this is the week that we recognize the June 6, 1944, D-Day, Operation Overlord, and Utah landing, and, of course, Omaha being the most fierce battle there. And it's a time that when many of those that are attending this week in France, many of our wonderful veterans that stormed the beaches, that came in with parachutes there on that fateful day, were down to just a handful, and probably within just a matter of perhaps a very few years, the people that actually survived those fateful days will no longer be with us. But tonight we have a wonderful opportunity to share and to help educate one another and to enlighten us all about how important the D-Day that President Eisenhower, at that time General Dwight David Eisenhower, made the fateful decision to go ahead with that invasion. And I have a lot of statistics, but maybe our guest tonight can do a better job of helping to bring to knowledge just how momentous, how colossal this effort was. And I know the General Eisenhower was waiting on the right elements weather-wise, and finally decided that this was the time, and everything had to be ready. And of course, General Eisenhower met with many of the military on the night before and told them about what would be expected of them. And later, President Franklin Roosevelt, on that fateful day, gave about a six-minute address to the sons and fathers and husbands of men, and then also the women that were involved with this. And he told them, and he invoked the blessings of God upon their efforts, and was prayerfully thinking about and praying for them. And we'll be discussing more of this, because I know President Ronald Reagan had a great deal to say about the poise of Point du Hoc. And tonight, I don't know, we are going to do our best just to show you a little bit of the clips that maybe we have here from Normandy. Some would go back into that fateful day. Others are right up to today's contemporary. People are there this week. And I have a friend, Michael Thurman, whose dad, Joe, is there, and I've been following him, and what a wonderful experience for me. It brings patriotism to the forefront for me. I'm proud to be an American and proud for what was paid so that we could live in liberty. And let's see what we have now.
Well, I trained with him. I joined the 1st Infantry Division in England, and I trained with the 1st Division, the medical company, and Eddie was a member also of the medical company, and we trained together, and we became good friends. but he died on D-Day. He had a serious stomach wound, and I was a medic. He was a medic also, and I could not help him. He was destined to die. So I tried to comfort him and do what I could for him, talk with him. But eventually he passed away while he was in my care.
On May 5th, 1945, and secured the town and the Eagle's Nest, which had been abandoned by the Germans. They encountered no resistance and took some souvenirs from the Eagle's Nest and other locations in the town. Therefore, while the 7th Infantry Regiment did enter Berchtesgaden first, it was Easy Company that secured the area.
And of course, Genesis Gold is one of the underlying sponsors, and we appreciate them, Mr. Mike Lindell, and all that would be associated with Genesis Gold. Be sure that you keep their website and keep their advertisements in mind if you want to protect your investments with something that you believe to be more perhaps secure. It would do us all well to be vigilant, diligent, and check out, and I think that you'll be happy that you did when you go to Genesis Gold and thoroughly explore it for yourself. And tonight we're just so excited. I think that's the word. You know, so many today that don't want to be very patriotic. Well, there's something within my soul that resonates and connects with the men and women that wore the uniform of this nation, that stood in harm's way. All gave some, and some gave all. There were people that never came back. I was privileged to go to Normandy a few years ago and visit. My wife and I were, and it was certainly a very significant, a very emotional time to go and look at the place and the area, the beachheads. And so tonight, if we have Mr. Michael Reagan available, I'd like to introduce him. I've had great respect for him as a commentator, as a journalist, as a spokesperson for Christian conservatism, and I count it an honor tonight that that he will be able to be with us. And I know you're going to enjoy his commentary. You'll enjoy everything that he has to bring to the table. And what an exciting time that people across the land and country can be with us right here at BBS Radio TV and on an important day here in the month of June as we approach D-Day. I guess it will be this coming Thursday, and June the 4th, and the Normandy continued on for up into August, and we know that there were, it was one of the largest amphibious military undertakings in the history of this country. Okay, Mr. Michael Reagan, good to see you and good to have you on board with us tonight.
Well, thank you very much.
Mr. Michael Reagan, you have a project, I understand, that is called the Normandy Project. Could you give us some background information as to the who, what, where, and why of this wonderful undertaking?
Well, it's the Reagan Legacy Foundation, and you can go to ReaganLegacyFoundation.org and read all about it. My foundation, my family's foundation, set this up quite a few years ago. It started with a scholarship program where we would provide scholarships to the men and women who served aboard the USS Ronald Reagan and to their family members at home for trying to better their education. And then a few years ago, while visiting Normandy, mm-hmm. We met with the people at the St. Mary Glees, Normandy, France, which was the first town freed by America at 4 a.m. in the morning of D-Day. And we put together a project with them called the Walkway to Victory. And you go to ReaganLegacyFoundation.org. Mm-hmm. You can purchase a brick, $250, tax deductible. We're a 501c3. If you know someone who served in the Second World War European theater, you can give us all their information, and we'll have a brick made in their name. It'll be installed at St. Mary Glees, Normandy, France. You'll be sent a photograph of it. If you ever visit Normandy, France, St. Mary Glees, you can see it. If you don't know anybody, not a problem. We know plenty of World War II vets, their names, and we'll put a name on it, send you the photograph, and allows you to honor those who served European theater, Second World War, especially there on D-Day as we celebrate the 80th anniversary.
Right. Well, my first cousin, Michael Reagan, Wilburn Kirby Ross, won the Medal of Honor in World War II at St. Jacques, France, October the 30th, 1944. Sergeant Alvin C. York, the hero of World War I from down in Pall Mall, Tennessee, came to my cousin's reception. Private Ross did great heroic deeds there on that particular day. And although he wasn't at D-Day, I have always been impressed with your dad's eloquence in how that he enunciated and told about D-Day, and he talked about how, and he called them, I believe, the boys of Pointe du Hoc, and he talked about the 240 men that were scaling the cliffs there, and it was reduced to where only 90 were remaining because they were in such direct onslaught by the Germans there, and of course the paratrooper that was found hanging there at St. Mary de Glees.
Red Button's place. There's a restaurant just down the street from the church named after it.
You know, your father talked about how that men and ladies in Georgia were up at 4 o'clock in the morning praying, and he mentioned people in Kansas on their front porch, they were praying. And he mentioned how they, that in Philadelphia, they rang the Liberty Bell. And I don't know, I sometimes think maybe I get a little emotional thinking about the heroism, the bravery, and what these men, these young men faced there that day. And so many, you know, I think we ended up as in the American casualties, about 40 some hundred people that day. And we were told that the airplanes were lined up wing to wing, and it was a tremendous thing. I was talking with a good friend of mine today, and his dad, Claude Smith, was there at Utah and got wounded, and he was talking about the landing of the boats. And he said, his dad said, the waters were so rough that day, and people in the boats were sick at their stomach because the waves were so pronounced that they were just kind of glad to be able to get out of the boats. And of course, as you well know, that so many never made it ashore because the weight of their carbines held them in the water. And I appreciate what you're trying to do. I want to be a participant myself in your efforts.
Well, you can be. You don't have to dove out of a plane on D-Day. It's if you fought in the European theater. You know, and this is who we're honoring, those who fought in European theater during the Second World War and, you know, freed the world, if you will. And that's why we started the Reagan Legacy Foundation for some scholarships. So not only do we honor those who are serving today, but we're honoring those who served yesterday. And I think that's very important.
Well, I think that what you have given to us here, and any time that you would like to be a part of what we're doing on our podcast, I certainly want to extend a most heartfelt welcome for you to do so, because I think most Americans are feel a debt of gratitude that they owe. You know, we stand upon the shoulders of those that preceded us and gave, and many, as I said, gave their all.
It's obvious. So, you know, we do very, very often, we do Medal of Honor dinners at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley.
Oh, yes. Well,
have a whole section with Susie. We have a whole section at the library honoring the those who won the Medal of Honor. You can go online there in the library and put in the name, and it'll give you the whole story.
And
and all that. And I suggest if people ever get to California, go visit the Reagan Library. And, you know, other people can go to YouTube and just put in the Ronald Reagan speech at Point d'Hoc, 1984. He was the first president to speak on D-Day at Normandy, France. And this year is the 80th anniversary. And this will be the last big one because there's still a few alive, but they're not going to be around really much longer. And so it's a great year to honor them for their service and what they were willing to do 80 years ago to save the world.
Yes, no doubt. The greatest generation. And I've been privileged to go to your dad's library there, Ronald Reagan Library. I've been there twice, and I enjoyed it immensely. It's educational, and it's inspiring. And I've always had a great respect for your father's love of faith, family, freedom. And that's been, I think it's been a boost to citizens, not only then and not only in his day and time, but in the posterity, what he's left for us to follow and to emulate. And so I want to thank you, Mr. Reagan, for taking time. I know you must have busy schedules, but that you would allocate some of that for us tonight, I certainly appreciate it.
Right. Again, if people want to help, ReaganLegacyFoundation.org. Information is there.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, we see the up on the screen now about the Fallen Heroes Project. And again, I'll look forward to your being with us at any time. You always have an open invitation to join us here on Phipps Faith, Family, Freedom.
Thank you very much.
You might not recognize them, but you might recognize their work. These men and women are just a few of the American soldiers killed in Afghanistan and Iraq.
I'm proud of my son.
And these...
And he never wavered.
...are just a few...
...from wanting to do what he felt called to do.
...of their stories.
When he was little, he started saying, when I grow up, I'm going to be a soldier.
And then 9/11, done deal.
Unfortunately, they all sound the same.
It was an athlete and a musician and graduated from Carville High School.
Chase Middle School and then Ferris.
He grew up here. He was raised in this house.
From a standard start.
He went to basic in September of 04.
He went to Iraq once and he was on his second Afghanistan tour.
To their early end.
Taking him to the plane when he walked away. He looked at me and he said, "Don't cry." I think I knew then he wasn't coming back.
Got up at 4:30.
Heard something on the news that another U.S. soldier had been killed.
I came out in the hallway and I heard a knock at the door.
About an hour and a half later, they were knocking at our door.
And I looked out the people.
And it was a chaplain and a captain.
There was a Green Beret and a chaplain.
That came to tell us.
And so I knew. I just knew.
And that pretty much changed his life forever.
And how could it not? Their kids aren't here anymore. But on the west side of Washington, one man has made it his mission to make sure these faces...
Is he looking at you?
...are never forgotten.
He's looking at me.
Beneath a burly beard, with the help of his precise pencil, Michael Regan sits here in his corner office, studying the souls of the same people who gave their life...
I really appreciate this person.
...for us.
All he's saying to me is, get me done and get me home. He says, that's where I belong.
8 years ago, Regan dedicated his career to drawing the faces of the fallen.
I speak through this pencil to his family.
He sends two soldiers home every single day.
The drawings represent my love and their loss.
He's done more than 3,000 in all.
What I'm trying to do, and that's why I'm doing this for free, out of love, is reach into their chest and just take their heart carefully in my hand and hold it for them for a while until it can start to heal.
It's these hands of this Vietnam vet that have helped so many.
These are heroes.
Regan believes every portrait he perfects...
I don't know him, but I love him.
...has a message.
And I love his family.
A message that must be delivered.
She's going to be looking right into his mother's face when you hand her that picture.
As it turns out... He's right.
That is beautiful.
This man is 20-year-old specialist Jared Lawyer.
Very much captured the softness of his face.
Oh, Jared.
And these are his parents, Kim and Gary.
And it means a lot for us to have this to look at every single day.
In Colville, Staff Sergeant Wyatt Goldsmith made it home.
When I look at it, I see why.
I don't even know how to put it into words.
And Kim Cole got the gift, too.
And he just captured everything about him the way he was.
Here's Corporal Daryl Morris.
I know I get to walk in my door every day and see my son.
More than 6,600 soldiers have died in Iraq and Afghanistan.
That's her son being carried away from his father's funeral.
A staggering statistic.
He's looking right at all of us, and he's saying, don't forget my dad. He died for this country.
But these soldiers aren't statistics.
He just was a good kid, well-liked.
He just wanted to experience everything. And he smiled everything he did.
What I think I really learned for him is you can't really truly be a warrior unless you can love too.
War hits every corner of this country, and some families much too hard. But a soldier's sacrifice is a whole lot more than a number. Remember that as you look into the eyes of a hero.
tonight when you go to sleep, wherever it's at, close your eyes, recall that image, and say thank you.
As always, it's just wonderful knowing that so many of you are taking time. And remember Genesis Gold, and also as we perfect everything here, we're expecting some tremendous efforts, and I think that you're going to be well pleased with what you see and what you're able to get. You know, there are many today that would want to tear down and demean the magnificence of this country. But to my knowledge, and I've studied history a little bit, taught government in the high school level for a while, I know of no country like ours that has taken territory when we go in to help other nations. And, you know, had we not had places like Normandy, we might be speaking German today. And Adolf Hitler, the villain, the wallpaper hanger that wrote Mein Kampf and went to power and had no humanitarian thoughts about him, took a people, the Jewish people, and desecrated and tried to destroy them, tried to annihilate them, and his legacy would be concentration camps, Dachau, Buchenwald, and others, and the hatred, the venom, and what he did in tearing down a great part of Europe, places of cathedrals and places of great significance in the community of nations. Well, Normandy was one of those places. There were many others, but Normandy, again, was the largest landing amphibious military undertaking, Operation Overlord, it was called. And I'm so glad that this week, and as Michael Reagan was reminding us, this will probably be the largest anniversary for Normandy if it's done every 10 years or so, or even less, because so many of the veterans are well into their late 90s and some are over 100 years old. But I salute each one of them. And I think that we might have some videos now.
Mike here with Walk Among Heroes. Today, we're in the small village of Angouville-en-Plaine in Normandy, France. On the night of June 6th, 1944, two paratroopers came from the sky. They were assigned to the 2nd of the 501st, Robert Wright and Kenneth Moore. As they landed, Sergeant Wright had the initiative to set up an aid station in the church right behind me. He knew there would be injuries sustained from the jump, as well as the battles to come. Sergeant Wright quickly started treating the wounded from the Americans. It wasn't long after there were counterattacks from the Germans that also wanted this location. They started treating the Germans as well. The battles raged. His leadership looked to him and said, "Sergeant Wright, we should leave this aid station and move out with the rest of the unit." Sergeant Wright insisted to stay. He continued shooting casualties from both the Americans and the Germans, saving many lives that night. It's a heroic story about two amazing warriors. Thank you for coming to Angouville-en-Plaine.
And I think, don't call me heroes. It's so succinct and to the point. How that boys, 17, 18, 19 years old, left as maybe just young adolescents, but returned as men, men that had seen battle and had seen savagery around them. Some that I've heard stories of men that died and or their buddies died and they held them in their arms, and the atrocities of war. Sometimes when the forces of evil rise against democratic institutions, people that love freedom, that love democracy, that love the idea that man should try to live peaceably with his neighbor, the idea that we ought to try to be friends. When people decide there is no God, when they decide that power is what they want at all costs, we can see the results, the devastation, the carnage, the loss of property and other things, but most importantly, family members that never returned. Many mothers, when they would see the postman or the man from the Western Union with a telegram, they knew then that maybe bad news was coming. If you'll permit me, this wasn't scheduled, but I want to do it. It's a thing, a poem that was called The Common Man. And I don't have it on the schedule tonight, but I feel that I ought to do it. A fellow that used to sing the bass with a Statesman Quartet down in Georgia. They travel all over. Chief, they called him, James Weatherington. He would sing this song and give the recitation, and my, it would just send chills up your back. And here's what the common man said. The chief started out like this. "I was driving alone out in the country one day when I spotted a small frame house with shingles on top, and something about it just made me want to stop. I pulled my car to the side of the road near a field that had just been freshly hoed. I walked over to the man and introduced myself and hastened to say, 'I don't mean to intrude,' but he said, 'Howdy, friend. Won't you sit a spell? The Lord sent you here because I've got a story to tell. You see, my wife and I built this little frame house. We battled the wind, the rain, and the snow. Life was hard, but God was good. And after supper, we'd take down the Bible, and we'd read and pray. And we managed to get along somehow, some way, that is, until the postman came with that letter that day. You see, my son, had to go and answer his country's call. And I can just see him standing there so straight and tall. He said, "Dad, I want to thank you now for teaching me how to pray. And I'll go and defend a way of life for folks like you and me and the common man." Well, life was lonely, but God was still good. And every once in a while, I'd get a letter telling me that he were lonely and wishing that he were home. But sir, my life went to pieces, and I couldn't even pray when I got that wire that said, "Your son was killed in action today." And I said, "God, it doesn't seem fair now to take my only boy. Well, life's been so hard, it doesn't seem to be my share. But one night, my brother, while praying by my bedside, it was as if my boy were right there beside me with his hand upon my knee. He said, 'Dad, you disappoint me now. Why, if your faith in God and country waned now, I died in vain. Why, through the heat of the battle, I could feel your prayers. I knew that you were lonely and wishing that I were home. But, Dad, you must remember, you weren't the first to give your only son.' And somehow, my brother, the clouds parted back and God came right back into view. And that's why you were sent here, so I could tell my story too. And as I left that little frame house that day, I prayed, 'Please, God, may we always remember you, and may we always be careful for the common man.'" And God bless you for that. We'll be back in just a moment.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
And friends, I want to thank you tonight for your participation, being with us. I feel like that there is a great number that have been a part of these efforts. Again, we're grateful to Michael Reagan and his project there for recognition and remembrance of Normandy. And I think it's all... I think it's altogether appropriate that we never forget these people. And I know there are names there in Normandy on the various places of men and the crosses there. When you go to and see the crosses, it's a very moving experience, to say the least. I hope that maybe you could go sometime. And I don't know just how much longer the anniversary celebrations will be. I haven't heard. But if you have a chance to go, whether it's a small group or just with your family or just as husband and wife or whatever, I know that you would enjoy that and it would be so educational. You'll come back with a deeper appreciation of what happened there and the crosses, and seem like there is a solemnity there, the atmosphere is solemn. And you can see where the Germans had their machinery and had the places dug out for their tanks and for their guns and all like that, those holes that you can go down into built in concrete. And you can see the graves. If you have somebody buried there, it would be altogether nice, wonderful, because I've enjoyed it this week immensely. I certainly have enjoyed being able to watch, and it kind of just brought back fond memories for me as well, although I wasn't old enough to participate at Normandy. I have great respect for those that did, whether it was Omaha landing or the Utah landing, either one. I know Omaha seemed to be the most fierce, perhaps the most competitive, and the most lives lost. But here again, people that lost their lives, whether it was either one of the places at the beach fronts there, it certainly would be worth your time. And again, I remember President, or later President, Dwight Eisenhower, how that he went before the troops that night and told them the heavy responsibility that was thrust upon them. And it was a time. My good friend Claude Smith was there, and he allowed one of his friends to hold his weapon for just a moment. It gotten heavy, and that's when General Eisenhower, I called him, came through and talked to the man to whom that I believe Claude had given his weapon. And of course, General Eisenhower, the Ike jacket that he kind of designed, and this Kansan, this fellow that is buried out there, and the Eisenhower Library. I enjoy going to the libraries and seeing the honorable presidents. We've had one or two that's not very honorable, and I won't go into that now, but the point being is that these men and that paid the ultimate sacrifice, well, we're not going to forget. The folks at BBS Radio TV are not going to forget. Genesis Gold is not going to forget, and I won't you to know that as long as I have memory, as long as I have breath, I want to salute these boys that went away as boys, came home as men. And I hope tonight that you have thoroughly enjoyed the Phipps Faith Family Freedom podcast. I'm going to tell you that I thank you in advance. I hope you'll be with us next week. And we're continuing to perfect and remove any glitches or any things that might not make the program what it ought to be. And I take responsibility on my part for anything. But we want a program that's going to come right and reach you right in your heart and help us to all know what is good and decent. And I believe Philippians 4:19 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I'm glad that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But this is Andrew Phipps, and I'll sign off for this evening. I hope you have a great evening. God bless you. I'll look forward to being with you at the next scheduled opportunity.